This past week, I've been, indulging in a little bit of video game play. I've been playing a game called Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. It's a pretty fun game that defies all kinds of laws of physics and behavior and design of reality. Now, for those who are unfamiliar with the way that Mario Kart works, I'll explain a few basics to you. It's a standard racing game. There are a number of racers who are on a track. They each get some kind of wacky-looking vehicle with a variety of number of wheels, from anywhere from two to four, maybe six. I don't know. I'm looking at my consultants in the audience here. All of these racers race for several laps. I think it's about three or four. You dodge obstacles. You try and catch power-ups. And win the race, obviously. You try to get across the finish line first. But there's one additional element of the gameplay that is much different than most other racing games that I've played. And that is that being a racer, you can throw turtle shells and other types of fruit at other racers on the track. And these projectiles usually wind up, throwing another racer off track or messing with them in some way that slows them down. And these obstacles, you sometimes will wind up being caught from some guy behind you. Totally by surprise. Now, I admit that I am completely a novice at this. I've been playing for all of, a couple hours over the course of the week. But I will say, on several of occasions, I've been surprised by becoming a victim of those behind me hurtling some object that causes me to crash and be delayed and get fourth place instead of third. So you see, the way this game works, by design, is that you cannot actually look behind you when you're playing. The players only go forward, and the view that you see is only forward. Now, sometimes that means that things sneak up on you and disrupt your progress from, what has happened, or what is happening behind you. But there's only one thing that you can do about it when you encounter these obstacles from behind. You jam your thumb on that A button and you keep going. You just keep going forward. That's the point. And the principle of continuing to go forward when things behind us slow us down is something that we can apply in our Christian lives as well. We all have things behind us. Things in our past that we cannot undo. Now, these things can be both good, they can, or bad, but these things in our past are what determine the shape of our current state of being. The conditions that we live in now are a direct effect of the accumulation of our own personal history, tracing back through all the decisions that we've made over the course of our lives, even through the course of decisions that our ancestors have made, all the way back to Adam. The past is what makes us what we are today. But this is not the definition of who we are. The title of my sermonette today is Shape and Definition. Our past, our history, determines our shape. But what defines us, our definition, is determined by our character, our drive, our ambitions, our efforts to change our lives for the better as we go forward. Who we are is defined by what we are doing right now, not what we have done. Let's go over to Luke 5 and read verses 17 through 24. where we have a great example of an individual who had a past that created a certain condition that he wanted to grow out of. This is about the, let me make sure I'm getting the right one here. I don't think I've got it right. Let me double check here. Tell you what, I will cite this one for you. This is the familiar story of the prodigal son. Let me just make sure I am missing this up here. 15:11. There we go. Luke 15:11 is where we're going to go. I think I missed. That's what happened. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Harris. And actually, I'm going to have you go to Luke 15, verse 17. Okay. Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Hang on. Sorry. I'm reading Luke 5. Verse 11, from my notes, not from the Bible. So I'll go to the Bible instead. Luke 15, verse 11. Then he said, a certain man, how many times can I screw this up? Luke 15, verse 17. Now that I'm all caught up with you. But when he came to himself, this is the prodigal son, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this is my son. This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now, the prodigal son here, after living a life of indulgence and excess, he realized the mistakes that he had made in his past. He wanted to do something about it. He knew he couldn't change what had happened. He wished he could, right? But he looks at his condition for where he is at that moment right there as he's feeding those swine. And he decides that he can move forward from where he is. His past determined his shape, but not his future. Rather than allow his past to overcome him and cause him to get stuck, he chose to look forward. He chose to humble himself. He chose to admit his fault. He chose to seek mercy. He chose to change his way. And he was gladly received by his father. I'll have you go to another example of people who changed their ways, not looking back, but looking forward. This is in Jonah, and this will be chapter 3, and I'll read verses 5 through 10. I got this one right. Jonah 3, verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God. Now, this is after the people of Nineveh had been warned by Jonah about the very serious, dire consequences that they were about to face for living in the way that they did. Jonah 3:5, continuing on. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish?" Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. The people of Nineveh were warned about their sins, about the consequences of what they had done, and they decided to change their ways. They repented. They turned to God, and God decided to change his mind concerning the physical punishment that he was ready to unleash on these people at this point in time. When we discover that we have sins in our lives and in the way that we have lived, there's nothing we can do to undo what we have done. The only thing that we can do is look forward, ask for forgiveness, and change our ways. And God is merciful to those who do that. Let's go to Lamentations 3. And read verses 22 through 24. This is between the books of Jeremiah and Ezekiel. It was written by Jeremiah. Lamentations 3, starting in verse 22. "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him." God is patient with us. He wants us to change. And he gives us an opportunity to repent, to be forgiven. And he wants to offer us mercy. And as long as we are willing to repent and change our ways, turning to him, he is willing to forgive. Every single day is brand new. And presents us with an opportunity to define ourselves. And God's mercy is there every single day, ready for us. Every day, if we are willing to turn our lives to him. That should be encouraging to us. Let's go to Philippians 3 and read a little bit about Paul's experience. He had a colorful history as well. He knew that there were things that he had done that he could not undo. And he reflects on that a little bit here. Philippians 3, and I'd like to begin in verse 4. "Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me," that's past tense, "these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." Whether we have good things or bad things in our past, they may shape our condition. They shaped Paul's condition. We've all gone through things for a purpose. And that purpose is to bring us to where we are right now, to lead us to build the righteous character that God wants for us. Like Paul, we need to define our future. He did not let his past define him. He was looking forward. He didn't let the past disrupt his future path. He sought to shake that all off and seek Christ going forward. Scanning down a little bit further to verses 13 and 14 of Philippians 3, We can see the kind of attitude reflected by Paul that we ourselves need to have. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This summarizes the state of mind that we need to have. Our past is something that shapes us, but we cannot change it. We can't go back in time, so it's useless to wish our past away, wish that our past was different. We take ourselves where we are right now and move forward, understanding the truth. We need to look forward exclusively and not look behind. We need to continue ever looking onward ahead of us toward the goal of our calling.